1 Kings chapter 17. Sermon 2 by Paul C. Jong. Let us prepare a greater vessel of faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Today I want to share the word along the same lines as yesterday. These days a long winter lies before us. In this time when the world is hard and livelihoods are pinched, I keep in my heart the question of how we are to pass through this season. And whenever I meet the workers, we discuss it together and gather wisdom. This morning, two, we went about together, settled several things to be done in the days ahead, and set our hearts to bear these works by faith. Why we prepare a greater vessel by faith? We are serving the Lord with the work we now do, but we want God to give greater blessing so that we may prepare a greater vessel. The purpose is one alone, to preach the gospel to every nation of the world. We want to send the books containing the gospel of the water and the spirit to each nation in large quantities and to help cover the cost so that they can be sent out again from within those nations so that the peoples of those lands can meet the gospel. So we lay this work before the Lord as our desire. Pray and leap over the wall by faith and take up the challenge. I believe the living God is with us and will accomplish this work. When I look at myself, my heart shrinks. But when I look at God, new strength springs up. When we look only at our circumstances, the heart tightens. But when we look at God, courage rises. So I always look at God. Sending books to each nation and covering the cost of sending them out is a work that can never be reduced. Only to pass this winter wisely. We have agreed to translate first the books most needed into several languages into which they have not yet been translated, and to defer for a while the parts already much translated until circumstances improve. The work goes on steadily without change. We mean to cross this season by faith. I believe God will be with all this work and bless it. Do you believe it too? God, who sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. The passage is a story from the days of King Ahab. When Israel served the golden calves and left God, God allowed a famine through the prophet Elijah in order to turn them back. Elijah lived by the brook, eating the bread and meat the ravens brought him. But even that brook dried up. Then God spoke to Elijah, Arise, Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. When Elijah came to Zarephath, a widow was gathering sticks at the gate of the city. Elijah called her and asked her to bring a little water in a vessel, and also asked her to bring a morsel of bread in her hand. For God had already said that he would feed Elijah through that widow. But the woman's circumstances were desperate. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. The bread spoken of here was nothing grand. It was a thin loaf of kneaded flour baked over the fire. The people of that region still bake and eat it that way today. When you see that they are strong in body, even without eating richly, the way God has made us is marvelous. The faith of the widow who gave up her last meal. All that widow had left was one son and a bare handful of flour. She reckoned there was nothing left but to make one last meal of it, share it with her child, and then starve to death. And then a man of God came and asked her to make bread for him first out of that last food. In human eyes, it was a request impossible to grant. Her child was about to starve. Who would hand that over to a stranger? But Elijah delivered the word of God. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 13 through 14. The woman who lived in Zarephath heard the word of the man of God and obeyed it just as it was. Then the bin of flour did not run out, and the jar of oil did not run dry, so that she and Elijah and her whole household could eat for many days. The scriptures record this to teach us how God keeps alive and preserves the person who fears God, and how he protected his servant Elijah. We who serve the gospel in an age of famine. I see this famine of 3 years and 6 months as being like the season we are now passing through. The world is truly hard. It is a season hard to endure for those who do business in the same line as ours. But God makes us live in this age, and live with enough and to spare. So we set our hearts on serving the gospel more than on our own eating and living. We mean to send out books in quantity and help cover the costs, so that the books of the gospel may reach those who seek God, those who fear God like the widow of Zarephath. For this work we take up the challenge by faith and prepare a greater vessel. By God's blessing, we have done much up to now, but the work we must bear from now on is far greater. Just as the Apostle Paul regarded preaching the gospel to the Gentiles as a debt he was bound to repay, so we are debtors to the gospel toward the whole world. How many are the nations and languages to which the gospel must be preached? So while continuing steadily the work we now do, we are preparing to find new nations and send the books of the gospel of the water and the Spirit in their languages. I believe God will be with his servants and the church and accomplish all these things. The hardship of today is a famine of the word. How greatly the people of the whole world are now suffering, serving idols and having left God. Things like the recent financial upheaval are also a kind of famine. The scriptures say that the famine of the last days is a famine that comes not from lack of water, but from the absence of the Word of God. There is much Christianity in the world today, but those who rightly know and preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit are rare. When I speak of other things, my strength drains away. But when I speak of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, strength wells up instead. Do not fear persecution, but preach the gospel. The gospel is the truth, and so it must be preached. Yet even believers shrink from preaching it for fear of persecution. Preaching the gospel is not, in fact, difficult. Preach it by faith, and that is all. But people refute it and brand the one who preaches as a wretch. If you receive a personal attack, simply concede it. If they say you are small, say it is so. If they say you lack this or that, say it is so and concede it, and there is nothing more to quarrel over. And then, on the question that really matters, why the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the truth, on that alone you answer clearly. And that is enough. The reason people find this work hard is, above all, that they are hated. They cannot bear being treated as heretics within Christianity, losing people and possessions and honor, and being all but buried in society. But in fact, it is not so unbearable a thing as that. To preach the truth clearly is a precious differentiation. In business, too, doing things differently from others looks strange at first. But as time passes, that differentiation becomes rather a good thing. A restaurant that does things differently draws people. It is the same with spiritual work. To preach the truth of God clearly is a differentiation the people of the world shrink from. But it is the work that clearly saves one person and saves all the people of the world. If people fail to understand and call you a heretic, then instead urge them to receive the remission of sin. How glad and happy people live once they have received the remission of sin. It is said that those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So that much persecution we can bear as much as need be. This afternoon, too, I visited a restaurant where you can enjoy all kinds of seafood to your heart's content. People naturally gather to a restaurant set out differently from others. Even in worldly business, what is distinctive prospers. How much more? Then, in the work of clearly preaching the gospel that saves all mankind, what is there to hesitate over? Compared with the joy of saving souls, upholding the work of God, and fearing God, moments persecution is nothing. Though people should try to bury me, there are plenty of places in the world that welcome me. The world of God is this wide. What is there to feel cramped about? So to preach this gospel distinctively is a truly good thing. Do not chase people's recognition and honor. These days, when my body is worn, there are moments when I look at those who have left this world and think they must be at ease. But such thoughts must not be harbored in the heart. Everyone who has a body of flesh has hardships. It is better simply to accept that. Do not try to pick out only the good things. Bear hardships too with a steady heart. How long does the recognition one receives from people last? Human honor is such that a good reputation can collapse in a day. Why then cling to that one thing and agonize so over not being recognized? Though someone should slander you with harsh words and drive you into a corner, how many things are there in this world more precious and more valuable than such recognition? There is nothing that need collapse because you hear some rough words or are put to shame in the world. Though someone should try to push me out, the world is wide. There is much to do, and there are many places that welcome me. To be bound to the single thread of people's recognition, hurting one's heart, and even wearing down one's health, is the truly foolish thing. There is no reason to let one's heart be stolen by such things. I too, living in this world, have times when my heart is heavy and nights when I cannot sleep for thinking of my health. But when I keep my body moving diligently and work, sleep comes well instead. If you sit still and only fret, sleep does not come. But the one who has worked and sweated grows weary and soon falls asleep. Having gathered like this and moved our bodies, I think I will sleep well tonight too. The work we do is more precious and more blessed. The hardships we go through are in fact nothing. Through us, God accomplishes His will and saves souls. How precious a thing this is! When I see the books passed on to the people of each nation through our co-workers abroad, and see them fellowshipping with one another and being built up within the gospel, I set great expectation on that work. Though it looks feeble at first, I believe it will get better and better. Hard as it is, there is no work more rewarding than this. The small hardships we suffer are truly nothing compared with the great and precious work God is accomplishing through us. Therefore, even when there is slander against me, I do not strain to answer it point by point. Rather, when I keep silent, the co-workers who serve the gospel with us sometimes speak for us in our place. That sight of each building up the other is truly precious. God, who keeps alive those who fear Him. In that hard age, God sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath to be provided for. That widow was a person who feared God. All she had left was a handful of flour, and she was in the extremity of intending to make one last meal of it, share it with her son, and die. In such a situation, when the man of God asked for bread, a person who did not fear God could never have brought it out. But God sent Elijah there in order to keep that widow and her son alive. Even in that age, God kept alive in this way those who fear Him and accomplished His will. Therefore, living in this last age, I believe that however hard it is, God will feed us and keep us alive. And I believe that however hard it is, He will have us preach the gospel to the whole world. The harder things are, the more God intervenes and blesses, saying, "Prepare the vessel, ask, and I will fill it." That is why we want to work by faith in this age. God, who fills with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I believe that God works in us, step by step, and accomplishes the work He delights in. So I lay down anxiety. It is not that we cannot serve the Lord because we lack material things. It is that we fail to serve Him because we lack faith. When God worked the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, with a child's small lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, He fed more than 5,000 people and had 12 baskets left over. God is the one who gives us blessing and provision enough and to spare to preach the gospel to the whole world through us. Look not at yourself, but at the Lord who saved you. I am not trying to launch things recklessly. Since God holds our church in peace, it is all the better. God desires the preaching of the gospel even more than we desire it. How then could He ignore us? So, lacking though we are, we want to keep those steps by faith and follow the will of God, We want to carry on without ceasing until the day the Lord comes, the work we now do of sending books and covering the costs. We want workers to be raised up in every new nation and the work of the gospel to arise. When you live serving the gospel, never look at your own height or lowness or weakness. What is lacking, simply acknowledge. It is true that we are unworthy and weak, but the Lord does not fault us for it. Look at the perfect Lord who has saved us completely and do His will by faith, and that is enough. The Lord has made us sinless, set us up as workers of righteousness, and delights in us. Who then can do anything to us? God saved me and saved you and made us His workers. We have only to believe quietly and follow the work God delights in. What is there to worry about as if to die? Acknowledge every lack, but look at God who saved us and uses us. And there is no anxiety at all. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Where is there anyone as much at ease in heart as we are? If we carry this work of preaching the gospel on to the day the Lord comes, the whole world will hear the gospel, and the fire of the Holy Spirit will rise among souls. On the other hand, the world will move in a current that tries to bind the many religions into one, and a time will come when one cannot even exhort another about a different faith. As our preaching of the gospel and such worldly currents interlock and move in tandem, at last, when the time is fulfilled, the Lord will call us. The road is still long, but I want God to raise up many good workers so that the work of the gospel arises in every nation. When we believe God and prepare the vessel, God blesses us. You also hold faith in your steps as you follow the Lord from now on. Believe God, then God will be with you and bless you, and I believe He will keep and establish you and me and the church, and even our co-workers abroad. I have finished the word.